Thank you, choir, for your dedicated leadership in worship week after week after week. Members of our choir, you may be aware, will be leaving next Sunday for a 10-day spiritual pilgrimage in the western part of England. And I'll call your attention to this month's Monthly Explorer, our newsletter, which should hit your mailboxes this week, if it hasn't already. We invite you to follow along. The cover story is about this pilgrimage. You can follow along on their journey and pray for them at each stop. And so we invite you to do that. This afternoon, Marnie, Sandy, and some other volunteers will be taking the youth to King's Dominion. Brave souls. And I know they'll have a great time together. But thinking about that excursion reminded me of a story about a friend of mine named Tim Simpson. Tim and I were serving on a church staff in Kentucky together. Tim was the minister to children. One Sunday afternoon, Tim was leading a trip to Kentucky Kingdom, an amusement park in nearby Louisville. He was taking a class of 8-year-olds to the amusement park, and there were 14 of them. So, your laughter indicates that you're imagining the scene. 14 8-year-olds. Screaming, singing, laughing. They had barely left the parking lot when Tim said he felt a migraine coming on. He said to me later, "Daniel, if you were driving that bus, wouldn't you be tempted to exceed the speed limit just a little bit in order to arrive at the park with at least a shred of your sanity intact?" That's how my friend Tim earned himself a speeding ticket in the church bus. Before Tim knew what was happening, the kids saw the blue lights flashing behind them and began shouting, "The police are chasing us! We're all going to jail!" Now, you need to know that Tim is one of the kindest and gentlest souls I know. And here he is, confronted by a rather irate Kentucky State Trooper. "Mr. Simpson," demanded the officer, "I have been following you for 5 miles. Didn't you hear my siren?" "Officer," answered Tim, "there are 14 8-year-olds in this van with me. I can't hear a blessed thing." Poor Tim. It strikes me, though, as much as we want to laugh at Tim and that scenario, that strikes me as precisely how many of us travel through life. How many of us travel through our days? We are so distracted by all the voices around us that we can't hear a blessed thing. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? I know I do. One voice says, "You're not good enough." Another voice tells us, "Why can't you be more like..." Yet another voice tells us, "Well, you've messed up again." That's why on this journey we call life, it's so important to pull into a rest stop every now and again, so to speak, so that we can rest for a little while, so that we can pause our constant moving through this life and catch our breath, to silence the cacophony of voices all around us and listen to that one voice we really need to hear. Listening to that voice, that prayerful communication with our Creator. You don't need me to tell you that often that's easier said than done. Prayer is something that we all need help with sometimes. Lord, teach us to pray, one of the disciples asked him. That was a rather odd request of Jesus, don't you think? I mean, these disciples have been praying all their lives. Why all of a sudden do they need to ask Jesus how to pray? Did they somehow feel like their prayers were inadequate? Did they feel like their prayers somehow were not working? Or did they compare their own prayers to the ones that Jesus was praying? Maybe they realized how different his prayers were from their own. Oh, Jesus' prayers sounded so confident and so strong and so honest. Whenever he prayed, things changed. Diagnoses changed. Lives changed. Regardless of what they were thinking, Jesus honors their request. He gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer. They memorized the words, just like we do today. They recited those words over and over and over again, just like we do today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy is your name. Jesus tells us that we begin our prayers by remembering whom we're talking to. Yes, God is the holy creator of the universe, but God is as close as your mother's hug. Dr. Graham Walker of McAfee School of Theology in Georgia says that opening the prayer this way is, quote, an evocation of the familial term which presupposes ensconced connection. He cleared that right up for us, didn't he? No, that's a really fancy seminary professor way of saying that we ought to speak to God the way we would a loving parent, because that's who God is. Jesus goes on to say that we should pray for his kingdom and for his will to be done. We should pray for our daily needs. We should pray to escape temptation. Why do we repeat this prayer every time we worship? Well, I rather like what Will Willimon says about the Lord's Prayer. He writes this: because the journey called Christianity is so potentially dangerous, we need to pray the Lord's Prayer over and over again. This prayer names the dangers you will face, as well as providing the help, the necessary skills you will need for negotiating the journey. He continues, because the world can be a dangerous place, because the world is always assaulting us with other accounts of reality, always offering up prayers to other gods, we must memorize this prayer as an essential skill for survival for a Christian. After giving us this prayer, Jesus gives us something else. He gives us an assurance that if we will ask, we will receive. And that's the part of all this that I struggle with. See, I love what Jesus says about embracing God as a loving parent. I understand and repeat after him the words about God's kingdom coming to earth, about praying for God's will, not my own, to be done. I know that I must ask God for my daily provisions, because I know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Every blessing I enjoy comes from God. I understand that it's important to ask for forgiveness and to ask for the courage to forgive others. I love this prayer Jesus gives us. But what do we make of his promise? For everyone who asks receives, Jesus says, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. What do we make of that? That's the part I struggle with. What about the husband and wife who pray and pray and pray and pray for a child, only to be visited time and time again by that cruel monster of infertility? What about the woman praying fervently for her sister, her best friend in this world, to be cured of her cancer, only to stand a month later weeping bitterly at her grave? What about the young mother who prays unceasingly to be delivered from her addiction, but every night after the kids go to bed, that demon pays her a visit? What about the worker who prayed and prayed that he might keep his job, only to find a layoff notice tucked in with his final paycheck? What do we make of this? Are we not praying the right words? Are we not doing it right? Why do some prayers seem not to receive answers? Is God busy with more important things? Church, this is hard. This is hard because life is hard. And though I've had the great blessing and benefit of a theological education, I'm not sure I'm any more of an expert on prayer as you are. When it comes to prayer, I find myself with more questions than answers. And church, hear me when I say that there are days when I wonder whether my prayers reach any higher than the ceiling above my head. There are days when I wonder whether God is even listening. And there are days when I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that as I pray, God is sitting right there with me. So while there is much I do not know about prayer, there are two things that I believe with all my heart. The first thing is this: God wants us to pray. Prayer is praise. It is thanksgiving, it is conversation, it is questioning, it is arguing, it is mourning, it is all of these things. But at its core, prayer is asking, I believe. Asking for what we need. Asking for God to be with us and speak to us. Asking is so central to prayer because in doing so, we acknowledge our need and God's goodness. Asking affirms that we are completely and totally, utterly dependent upon God for everything. I read a story last week by Amy Butler when she was pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. Amy had just gotten to that portion of the worship service where she invited all the children to join her down front for the children's sermon. Amy's congregation started to chuckle when a much beloved 87-year-old member got up from his pew and walked down to the front, sat with the children. And after the children's sermon was over, he got up and walked right back down the aisle to his seat, hand in hand with one of the little ones. After worship, the man explained to Amy that the week before had been his wife's birthday, his wife of 62 years. She had died several years before. He said it was just a hard week. Remembering her, thinking about life on my own. Amy replied, I can understand how difficult that would be. But forgive me, what does that have to do with coming forward for the children's sermon? He said, you know, as I age, I feel so very dependent on God, more than I have ever felt in my entire life. And when you called the children up front, I thought to myself, you know, that's exactly how I feel, like a child, so dependent on God. Prayer affirms that we are utterly and completely dependent upon God. The second thing I believe about prayer is that we can count on God to listen. There is nothing more important to God than being in relationship with us, caring for us. And so when we speak, whenever we speak, I think we can count on God's attention. So that's about it. It's about what I know. God wants us to pray, and God is listening. We pray daily because we have needs daily, and we need to ask God for those needs. And what we need most is God. It's hard sometimes, I'll grant you that. But we must keep at it. We pray because Jesus promises that God will hear us, and God will always, always, always be with us. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pray with me. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.